Welcome back to Impacting Your World. I'm Apostle Debbie Vigs. Let us get started with our Colossians prayers, Colossians 1, 9 through 14. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning to thank you and to give you praise. We give you all glory and honor. We are grateful for all that you have done for us. We thank you, Lord, that you have kept us and watched over us this entire week. We are thankful for the provision. We are thankful for every good and perfect gift that you have given us, Lord. We are thankful to you, Lord, for your Son, Jesus. Jesus, we thank you for the sacrifice that you made on the cross for us. We thank you for the blood that you shed. We cover ourselves with your precious blood. And we thank you that this blood heals, delivers, sets free. We thank you that it speaks of better things for us than the blood of Abel. Thank you, Jesus, for sending us the Holy Spirit, Spirit of the living God. You're welcome on this program. You're welcome into our homes and into our lives. We have your way in us this morning. We ask that you will be with us as we and guide us as we pray these Colossians prayers over ourselves, Colossians 1, 9 through 14. From the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray to make a special request, asking that we may be filled with a full and deep and clear knowledge of your will and all spiritual wisdom, in comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of you, Lord God, and in understanding and discernment of spiritual things. We pray that we may walk and live and conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of you, Lord, fully pleasing to you and desiring to please you in all things, bearing fruit in every good work, and steadily growing and increasing in and by the knowledge of you, Lord God, with fuller, deeper, and clearer insight, acquaintance, and recognition. I pray that we may be invigorated and strengthened with all power, according to the might of your glory, to exercise every kind of endurance and patience, perseverance, and forbearance with joy. We give thanks to you, Father, because you're qualified and made us fit to share the portion which is the inheritance of the saints, God's holy people, and the light. And we thank you, Father, that you've delivered and drawn us to yourself out of the control and the dominion of darkness, and you've transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of your love, in whom we have our redemption through his blood and forgiveness of our sins. We ask all this in the mighty name of Jesus. With thanksgiving, we have prayed. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, praise God. I want to thank you again for joining me this morning. We want to conclude today of talking about the covenant of peace. We have covered much ground. We looked at the fact that, you know, peace is one of the fruit of the Spirit. It's listed in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. And, you know, there's different benefits. We must develop and cultivate the fruit of peace in order to walk in the peace of God. Then we've also looked at the fact that, you know, there's different benefits that peace, you know, entering into a covenant of peace with God brings for us. So we want to look also quickly this morning just from the Word of God, some of the benefits that are listed as, you know, part of peace from the Word, from different accounts in the Bible. Now, if you study out the word peace or shalom from the Hebrew, you'll find that it means much more than a greeting. You know, most of the times we think of it as just a greeting, or most people know it just as peace, but it's not, doesn't cover peace alone. It actually talks about restoration, bringing back, you know, whatever you've lost, the peace of God brings back to wholeness. It talks of repayment, it talks of restoration, it speaks of, you know, completeness, being complete, being whole, nothing missing, nothing lacking, and, you know, nothing broken in your life. Most of the times, as I studied it out, you know, the different Hebrew scholars speak of it as when they speak to each other, when they greet each other, shalom, shalom, it means that they're asking of your welfare, they're asking of your well-being, and they're asking, is anything missing? Are you whole in your body? When they're speaking of, wholeness of your physical body, they want to know, is everything, every part that God made, is it there? Is anything missing? Are you whole? Are you, because back in that time, they used to be, you know, they had a lot of leprosy going on around in Bible times. And so one of the things with any person that had leprosy would be that parts of their body would be missing, maybe their fingers, their toes, or something like that. And so normally they would greet each other asking, are you well? By saying shalom, are you whole? Is everything, you know, complete in you? Are you, have you been restored back to wholeness? Now, we also see that shalom is also, when you study that, you'll find that all they used shalom, it was used as soundness, not only soundness, welfare, peace, health, prosperity. It was also used as repayment. You know, so a person, if somebody owed you or the enemy stole from you, whatever was stolen from you, it wasn't making you complete. It wasn't making you whole. If you owed somebody money, that person wasn't whole until you paid them back. You know, or if, you know, like in the case of the woman with the issue of blood, the Bible tells us that she had spent all she had on the doctors, and she grew worse because of that sickness, or you know, the issue that she had with the blood. And so because of that, she wasn't whole. You know, so that's why we see that when Jesus, when she approached Jesus and touched the hem of his garment, one of the things he said, your faith has made you whole. When you study that out, it was actually written in the Greek as sozo, which is the Greek word for shalom. It's sozo. However, Jesus at that time, if we go to the book of Mark chapter 5, Jesus at that time had not yet, you know, been, you know, had not yet ascended to her. In fact, had not died, had not gone through the process of dying and resurrecting and everything. So he was teaching in Aramaic. He wasn't teaching in Greek. You know, the Greek scholars took over most likely, you know, mostly the New Testament is written in Greek. But when you think of it, Jesus was still not in the New Testament at that time. He was Old Testament, so which meant he spoke Aramaic. So when he spoke to this lady, telling her she was whole, it meant that he was speaking to her using the Aramaic word of shalom, not the Greek word shalom, so meaning sozo. It means Greek word is sozo, but the Hebrew word is shalom. So he spoke to her in Aramaic, which was the language of that day. And so he said to her, when he said, your faith has made you whole, that your faith has made you whole, meaning that, you know, not only, in fact, in my Bible, in the book of, in Amplified Version, verse 34, it says, in Mark chapter 5, and verse 34, it says, and he said to her, daughter, your faith, your trust and confidence in me, springing from faith in God, has restored you to health. And so that restored to health is the word shalom. Your faith has restored you to health, you know, and then he says, go into peace. So he uses the word shalom again then, and be continually healed and freed from your distressing bodily disease. Jesus is speaking to her three times here, using in Aramaic, it shows that it's three times. You know, he says, daughter, your faith has made you or has restored you to health. That restored there is shalom. Health there, meaning again, you know, has restored you to health. That's shalom. Go into peace again. That's shalom there. And so he spoke to her three times, telling her to, you know, it's basically that, you know, he was pretty much saying to her that she needed to. Her faith had made her whole. Her faith had made her, you know, shalom. Her faith had made her whole. Amen. And so go in peace, go in, and then be freed. That freed there, being free from her distressing bodily disease. Now, this is Amplified Version. That Amplified, the reason I like it is that the translation is much closer to the Hebrew language, you know, than it is, than King James is. And so you'll find that most of the words that they'll use there, they've already translated from the original Hebrew and made it, you know, so it amplifies it so that we can get the full meaning of what was meant there. So that's why you'll find that in parenthesis, in Amplified, it says, your trust and confidence in me, springing from your faith in God, has restored you to health. That's shalom there. Go into peace, that's shalom, and be continually healed and freed, that's shalom, from your distressing bodily disease. So basically, she was not only going to be whole, but she was going to be complete, and she was, you know, going to be or restored back to wholeness in her finances, and in her body and in everything, you know, not only in her body, because it's like Jesus is repeating himself. He's already said, has restored you to health. Go in peace and be free continually from your distressing bodily disease. No, he's really speaking about three things. He's speaking about her being whole, being complete, and then restoration, being repaid for what she had lost. Because again, think about it. Had she just been healed, and you know, and most of the times we accept that because we don't fully understand when Jesus, you know, what Jesus was talking about when he would go with the people. We don't fully understand what this word peace or shalom means. Normally we think that the people just enter, you know, when the Bible talks about, you know, they fought, you know, in the Old Testament when they were going to possess the land, God's children would fight all the other enemy armies and would beat them and, you know, would win, have victory, have all these spoils and come back. Well, when they got all those spoils, that was repayment for what belonged to them. And when they got the land or possessed the land, they possessed other things. They possessed the possessions that were already there, the houses, the, you know, everything else that, you know, that the other people left. And so basically what would happen is that, you know, they would enter into rest. After a time of fighting, then they'll say, and the land rested. Well, that's talking about shalom again. You know, or they entered into the covenant of peace with God. That's shalom. Like our foundation scripture that we've been using, Ezekiel 37, it talks about, I'll make a covenant of peace with them. That there, God is saying, I'll make a covenant of wholeness, of completeness, of restoration with them. And it shall be an everlasting covenant with them. So this everlasting covenant it means that it goes on forever. It wasn't just for Bible times. This covenant of peace continues to our generation and it will continue beyond our generation. So there's a covenant of wholeness, of completeness, of restoration, repayment that God said he's entering into the covenant of peace with his people. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them, and I will give blessings to them and multiply them and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. Amen. So God wants, you know, he says, I will make a covenant of peace with them. God desires to make a covenant of peace with us where there's nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing lacking. There's repayment, there's restoration. So if you are under attack in any area of your life in terms of, let's put, for instance, if you're attacked in your body, you're not well, you know, you've been going through and suffering from some distressing illness. Spirit of infirmity has come in and attacked your body. You know, you've got some type of terminal disease, or you've got, it may not be terminal, you may still have some disease in your body. Well, you're not whole. According to God, he desires that we be, he prayed that prayer for us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. That's one of his prayers that he prayed, that I pray that, you know, God may make you whole. He would pray that prayer, you know, for the people of his time, but it's also, it applies to us as well. And so he wants us to be made whole, spirit, soul, and body. Because when God made us, he made us whole from the beginning. He made us in his image and in his likeness, and we are a model of God, a three-part model of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So when there's something in us that is lacking, then we are not whole. We are not complete. We are not in a state of shalom, a state of peace. And so here in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, He first of all, in verse 16, he says, be happy in your faith and rejoice and be glad-hearted continually, always. Be unceasing in prayer, praying perseveringly. Then he talks about verse 18, thank God in everything, no matter what the circumstances may be thankful and give thanks, for this is the will of God for you who are in Christ Jesus, the revealer and mediator of that will. Then he goes on, and then verse 23, and he says, and may the God of peace sanctify you. So that God of peace there, he's talking about the God of shalom. May the God of shalom, this shalom here is talking about wholeness, talking about completeness. It's talking about restoration. It's talking about, you know, repayment. Whatever is lacking, you know, like the woman with the issue of blood, she had to be repaid for all that she had spent, all that she had lost in the 12 years. So there's repayment in that. You know, shalom, it actually begins, the process. It's a process of restoration, which, you know, which when somebody speaks shalom to you, it means restoration be unto you. That will bring you into the place of wholeness and completeness, nothing missing. There shall be nothing missing in your life, nothing lacking in your life, and nothing broken in your life. And that's what shalom is. In fact, their greeting, when they greet each other like that, it's always about, is everything well with you? It's not just about, you know, the way we non-Hebrew speaking, you know, people don't fully understand this word shalom. So here we see Apostle Paul, his prayer is, may the God of peace, so may the God of shalom, may the God of wholeness, completeness, restoration, repayment, may the God of peace himself sanctify you through and through, separate you from profane things, make you pure and holy, consecrated to God. So he's making us pure and holy. So again, he's talking about holiness, holy, consecrated to God, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved sound. That's talking about shalom. So we see that he's using the word shalom throughout. May your spirit and soul and body be preserved sound. That's shalom. And complete. That's shalom. And found blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. So what he's basically saying is, when Jesus comes, may he find us in sound body, complete. May he find us whole. You know, nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing lacking. You know, not only is he looking at it from a financial aspect, he's looking at it from everything concerning us. We must be whole in our family. So if you recall, the woman, there's a Shunammite woman, we call her Shunammite, but the Hebrew call it Shunammite woman. But with her, she had, you know, she's the one who built a chamber, built an extra room for the prophet of God, Elisha, when he would pass by her house, you know, and after she had done that, so he would stop over and spend the night there. One night he stopped over and she, you know, he asked his servant, Gehazi, and he said, what do we do for this woman? She's taken so much trouble to build us this home or this room. What does she need? They called her. And she came to the man of God, and he asked her, he said, what should be done for you? Do you need me to speak to somebody? Do you need, you know, because again, he was inquiring of her welfare, because that's what the shalom was at that time. He's asking of her welfare. Do you need me to speak to somebody for you? Do you need a favor? Do you have, you know, debt that needs to be paid and we need to speak to somebody? And she said, no. I live among my own people, meaning that, no, I don't know anybody. We are all fine. And so he's like, okay, well, but there's got to be something that can be done for her. What is it that she needs? And so that's when the servant said, oh, you know, she has no child and her husband is old. And so he said, oh, okay, if that's the case, let's go ahead and pray for her. Or, you know, bring her back and let's pray for her for a child that she's desiring. Well, when the woman came back, she said, you know, she asked the man of God, told her, he says, well, you know, at this time next year, I'm just paraphrasing because of time, at this time next year, you're going to have a child, you know. And so she says, don't lie to me, man of God. And the man of God says, you know, I'm not lying to you. When the time comes around, you'll have this child. Well, because why is it he was inquiring? First and foremost, because she wasn't whole. Though she was married and she had desired, of course, to have a child, but she didn't have that child. And so because she didn't have that child, she became, you know, barrenness means that you're not shalom, you're not complete. And God himself says, none shall be barren and none shall lose their young by miscarriage. When that happens, that means you're not shalom. That means something is missing, something is lacking, something is broken. And so when he spoke to her, he discovered that, okay, there's got to be something that she needs. And what it was the fact that she did not have a child. So he prayed for her to have a child. And, he just spoke a word, he prophesied over her. And the following year, she has this child. And once she has this child, you know, we're told, the story goes on, that the, you know, the child grew up and one day was in the fields with his father. And when he's in the fields with his father, what happens is that, you know, he started complaining of a headache. I'm believing at this point that he was a little, you know, maybe he might have been 10 or so, you know, to be able to go to the field with the father. If it was such a little young kid, I don't think a small baby. I'm believing time had passed, quite a bit of time had passed. He had grown to be maybe, you know, between 7 and 10. We are not told in the Bible that this is what it was, but that's the account in 2 Kings chapter 4. That's where the story is, 2 Kings chapter 4. And so here, this woman then has, the husband brings back the child, and when the child is brought, you know, she puts him on her knees. That's why I believe it was still young. He wasn't very old. She puts the child on her knees, and what does she do? The Bible tells us that she sat there with the boy until like noon, and the boy, you know, the boy died while sitting on her knees. Then she went up and took him to the room which she had built for the man of God, and laid the child on that bed and shut the door upon that, you know, upon that child. Then what she did was to run to, she went to the man of God. When she was leaving, her husband, you know, she asked her husband for one of the donkeys so she could use that to go quickly to the man of God. Now, normally, back in those days, you wouldn't just go to the man of God anyhow. It had, either you went if it was a new moon or the Sabbath or something. And so we, in our Bible, in King James, it said, you know, in verse 23, 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 23, the husband is asking, why are you going to the, you know, of course, why are you going to the man of God? It's neither the new moon or the Sabbath. And she said, it will be all right. Well, in King James, it says, it will be well, or it is well. In Amplified, it says, it will be all right. Well, that's the translation, but what she actually said was that it will be, it, you know, she was saying it is shalom. Nothing is wrong. She didn't speak, you know, she didn't speak the negative. She said it is well. Basically, that's what it meant when, you know, and King James has it correctly when it says it is well, because it is shalom. There's nothing missing. There's nothing broken. There's nothing lacking. Everything is well. Everything is shalom, complete. And so, of course, we know the story. We're told that she, of course, runs over to the man of God. You know, she tells the driver, well, the guy who was riding the donkey, says, don't stop to speak to anybody. Just go quickly. And she saddled the donkey and told the servant, don't slacken your pace, because this is an urgent. Why did she say that? It was an urgent matter. Though she was speaking shalom, but her child had died. So, of course, she runs to the man of God. The first thing the man of God sees, the servant saw her, and he says in verse 25, beyond is that Shunammite woman. So the man of God says, well, run to meet her and find out. And this is what you should say. Is it well with you? So he's asking her, is it shalom? Is everything all right? Is it whole? Are you whole? So they ask her first, are you whole? You know, is, are you complete? Is there nothing missing, lacking in your life? And then ask her if it is well with her husband. So the same thing, ask if her husband is shalom. Then ask if, you know, the child is shalom. And her answer was shalom. She didn't say anything to the servant. She just spoke shalom. When she came to the man of God, that's when she grabbed his foot, you know, and thrust her. He gave her, was trying to thrust her away. The man of God said, no, 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 leave her alone, because her soul is bitter and vexed within her, and the Lord has hid it from me and has not told me. And then she says, did I ask you to give me a child? Did I desire of a son of my Lord? Did I not say, don't deceive me? Then he said, of course, the servant went in and all that stuff. And, you know, the servant comes back and said, no, this child, you know, I went to check the child, but the boy is neither speaking and the child is not awakened. When the man of God arrived at the woman's house, you know, going on further to verse 33, he went in, shut in the door, and the two of them, on the two of them, and prayed to the Lord. He laid on the child, you know, seven times, and then the child's flesh became warm. Then he returned and walked into the house to and fro, and all this until the child opened his eyes. Then he called the Shunammite woman, and when she came, he gave her back. So basically, again, that was restoration. He restored this child back to her. So if you continue reading on, you'll find that later on, this same woman, when there was a famine in the land, they had left and they had gone on, she had gone to a different country. For 7 years, she was gone. Now, after she came back, when the time was up, when they needed, the 7 years was up and she needed to go back, Gehazi was speaking to the king, talking to the king about this woman, about what, the man of God had done. And when he's speaking to the man of God about this thing that he had done, this woman shows up because now she wants to go back to live, go back to her home. But remember, she had lost everything. And so the man of God, when he's speaking to the king of her, he says, oh, behold, here's the woman that, the man of God prayed for and restored her child back from the dead. And the king is asking her, is it true? And she says, yes. And so then she's now asking of the king, that she wants to go back. She wants to have everything that she had lost be restored to her. And he sent her on her way, having all her stuff restored to her. Now, what does that mean? That means that she experienced shalom. She experienced the peace of God. She experienced wholeness, nothing missing, nothing lacking, and, nothing broken in her life. When you read the Bible, because of lack of time, when you read the Bible throughout, whether it's the Old Testament or the New Testament, you'll find different situations where the word "it is well" was being used. Think about when David, his dad sent him to go when the Philistines were coming against, and Goliath was coming against the armies of the Lord, and David was at home shepherding the sheep. The father sent him to go and check after the welfare of his brothers. One of the things that David, the father sent him to do was, can you go and check on your brothers and check on their welfare, check to see if they're shalom. When he got there, he asked them, are you well? Meaning, is it shalom with you? Are you shalom? Is everything okay with you? Do you have everything that you need? Is anything missing, lacking, or broken? Are you complete? Are you whole? So you'll see that pattern throughout the Bible, where it talks of wellness, it talks of wholeness, and it's the word shalom. So there's benefits of restoration to wholeness, there's benefits of completeness. Now, today, because we're out of time, but I just want to encourage you to read the Bible, and anytime you see where it's talking about being made whole or being complete or restoration or repayment, know that it's the word shalom. And if you study it out, if you use your Bible concordance, you'll find that most of those words are actually words that are written from Hebrew and Aramaic, and it is the word shalom. Now, one scripture that I love that I want to leave you with today is Isaiah chapter 3 and verse 10. It says, say to the righteous, and this is Amplified Version, and I believe King James says the same, say to the righteous that it shall be well with them. This here is talking about shalom. It's talking about nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing lacking. It's talking about being restored to wholeness. If you've lost anything, God says it shall be well with them. Say to the righteous, if you're righteous, you're in right standing with God, you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then this benefit is for you and I. And God is saying, then he's decreeing, this is a prophetic word, say to the righteous that it shall be well with them. Not only is it just well in areas of, finances, but it shall be well in your body. It shall be well in your home. It shall be well in your marriage. Wherever there's lack, wherever, God is a God of wanting us to be whole, wanting us to be complete, wanting us to be sound in every area of our lives. He wants us to experience his peace. He wants us to experience restoration and repayment. So wherever there's lack in your life, not only in your finances, if you're lacking something, a body part, if you're lacking You know, so if your children are lacking something, if you're lacking children, if you're lacking, you know, in your career, whatever area, this applies to that. And the Lord is saying, say to the righteous. This is the Lord speaking. Say to the righteous that it shall be well with them. And I want to leave you with this today so that you take it, you meditate upon it. God is saying to you that it shall be whole. It shall be, you shall be complete. There's restoration coming to you. There's, you know, whatever you've lost, whether it's in finances, there's restoration coming to you. There's repayment coming to you. Whatever the enemy has stolen, there's repayment coming to you. It shall be shalom with you. This is what God is saying. And I say this to you this morning as a prophet of God, it shall be well with you in Jesus' name. Thank you so much for joining me this week. I do appreciate all of you. And I pray that, you know, God will meet you at your very point of need, and whatever is wrong in your life, God will make it right. The word of God promises that He will perfect the things that concern us. He will shalom the things that are concerning us. So I speak shalom to you today. Peace, wholeness, completeness, soundness in every area of your life, and whatever it is you need, I speak shalom. God bless you all. Thank you again. And by God's grace, we'll meet next week on Monday for our Spirit-led weekly prayers. Be blessed. Bye-bye.